Good morning, and I'm so glad that you've joined us for the Let the Bible Speak program. If you'd like to turn to Psalm 127 and Psalm 128, we will be looking at these two psalms that deal with the home. Today, the home and marriage in our culture in America, sadly, is declining. We have a high rate of divorce. It's almost 50% in this country. We have a large amount of broken homes, single parents. And I'm not talking about by natural death or something like that. I'm talking about parents who don't want to parent, a father who doesn't want to be a father. He will have a child and then he'll go off somewhere, or the mother. Not because of natural death or not because of a situation out of our control, but by choice. And it's causing many broken homes, and young people are growing up without a mom and dad. They're growing up without good guidance. It's almost as if children are raising children today. Young people are having children. They're immature often, and they're raising their children in a very immature way. And then the cycle just continues to continue on. And we have a lot of broken homes. We have a lot of juvenile delinquency. We have a lot of juvenile crime and drugs and gangs. We have a lot of divorce. We have a lot of spousal abuse, neglect, physical abuse, emotional abuse. The home and marriage is a big problem today in our society. And more young people are being born into this world not knowing anything about God. No God, no Bible, no prayer, no church in the home. And young people are growing up very secular. And what is their God, if you will, what they turn to is social media. They've got their phone, and that's all they know. That's all they need. And that's what's guiding them through life, whatever they see on their phone and what their friends are saying and doing and the videos that they're watching and so forth. And it's a whole generation of people that just do not have proper spiritual guidance in their life. But friends, you don't have to be like that. You don't have to be one of those statistics. You can have a good marriage. You can have a good family. You can raise your children properly. You can go to heaven and your family can go to heaven. But you've got to get God at the center of your life. Not just something that somebody talks about or that you've heard about or that you read about in a book somewhere. It's a central part. It's our daily living, God-centered living. And Psalm 127 and Psalm 128 are two psalms that actually go well together, that deal with the family and the home. And the point is made in both of them that God has to be that foundation. So I'm so glad that you've joined us this morning. I'll be honest, we have a very dark picture of the home in our society. But there is a bright light of hope for each and every one of us if we will have God at the center of our home. And we can live in a very wicked world and yet still be right with God. Noah did that. Noah and his family obeyed God. They got on the ark. They built the ark and got on the ark. They were saved from the flood. And Genesis 6 says that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth. You can live in a wicked world around you and still be right with God. Our educational system is going down the drain slowly. Our political system is going down the drain slowly. Laws are being made that are not according to God's word. Educational systems are being taught that are not according to God's word. There are business principles that are not according to God's word, economic principles of debt and other kinds of things that are not according to God's word. Every fiber of our American fabric is slowly unraveling, and we've got to get God back at the center of our life. So let's read Psalm 127 and Psalm 128 together. Psalm 127 tells us about prosperity that comes from the Lord when we let the Lord be the builder of our home. Psalm 128 talks about prosperity that comes from the Lord, and it gives us the attitude necessary for that, which is the fear or the respect of the Lord. Let's put these two together for our lesson today. I'm so glad that you've joined us. You, friend, can have hope for your life, even if you're single, even if you're not married with a family. God needs to be at the center of your life, but especially if you are married with children. Psalm 127. Except Jehovah build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except Jehovah keep the city, the watchmen wake but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to take rest late, to eat the bread of toil, for so he gives unto his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of Jehovah, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be put to shame when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Notice in Psalm 127, there's this idea of vanity or labor in vain. Vain is used three times there at the beginning of this psalm. When we try to live a life without God, this is Jehovah, this is the eternal God. When we try to live without him in our life, it's just simply vanity. We will have a physical life. Maybe we will even have a prosperous physical life. But ultimately, it's empty. It's empty without true meaning if God is not there. And if his word is not guiding us, it is empty. And what are we working for? What are we doing if God is not going to be a part of that? We just go through life and we die. Now, the atheist says you just go through life and when you die, that's it. There's nothing beyond that. Well, what was the whole point of being here? If there's no ultimate reward for anything, what's the whole point? Atheists and others don't know the true answer to that. There is no meaning in life, ultimately, if there's no life beyond the grave. And if you're trying to do things, you can physically build a house and you can physically build a city, and people do it all the time. Atheists and others, they build things all the time. But the psalmist is saying that ultimately there is no purpose in that, and there's no good in that without God and without God's providence. Except Jehovah build the house, they labor in vain that build it. The psalmist is not saying you're not able to build a house. An atheist can build a house and build a very nice house and finish it and complete it. But there's no purpose in that if there's no God in his life. It's not going to be used in its best way. And with regard to the city, you can build a city and you can have physical protection, but ultimately it's God's providence that watches over any city or any nation or any country. Watchmen alone are not going to protect a country. Our military alone is not going to protect our country or any country. That's the whole point. You have to have God in it. There has to be God in the equation, if you will. And then, verse 2, this verse seems a little strange. If you don't take it in its immediate context and how it's understood in the rest of the Bible, it almost sounds like you don't need to get up early and go to work. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who would love to hear that. But it's not talking about that. It's vain for you to rise up early, to take rest late, to eat the bread of toil, if God is not in the picture. That's the whole point. You have to keep it in its immediate context. It's another example of vanity without God. We do need to get up early. We do need to work hard. But he's saying it's vanity without God. God, so he gives unto his beloved sleep. God, in the picture, ultimately gives people rest. And I believe this is talking about physical sleep, physical rest. But God has to be in the picture, friend. What are we working for? Paul says to work in order to give to him who has need. We're not just working for ourselves. We're working to be generous toward others. God has to be in the picture of our work, in the protection of the city, in building a house, and in building the family. And that's the whole point of verses 3, 4, and 5. Now we move into the home and family, and that God wants to be a part of that. Our children are a heritage of Jehovah. First of all, children are an actual gift from God physically. Another psalm that we're going to look at, Lord willing, next week, Psalm 139, he forms the child in the womb. God does that. He's the father of our spirits, the spirit side of us, the soul side of us, Hebrews chapter 12. Our mom and dad give us our physical side, but God forms the spirit or the soul in each individual. And we'll get to that hopefully in another lesson. But children are a heritage of the Lord. First of all, they're given to us by the Lord, and they can be a blessing from the Lord, but it's not going to be automatic. We as parents have to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6, verse 4. We have to do that. It's not going to be automatic. They're born into this world innocent, free of sin. And it's up to us as parents to guide them in the right way so that they can follow the Lord when they grow up. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Now, there are some children that grow up, as I mentioned earlier, in our society, they are anti-God, and they're not going to be a reward for God. But you, as a parent, choose how your children are going to grow up and be raised, and what a great reward they can be for the Lord. But it's up to you. And then the psalmist says, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man, those are used for war and weapons, so are children of youth. Children can be a mighty force. They can be used for so much good. Today, in the news and other places, you hear about young people causing problems, violence and gangs and disrupting this and looting and stealing. We had that go on back in the summer of 2020, the summer, one city leader called it the summer of love. No, it was the summer of violence and lawlessness. And many young people were engaged in all kind of civil unrest. Young people often get that picture, and rightly so, but your child doesn't have to be like that. They can be a mighty force for good. They can go to school and get good grades. They can grow up to be fine young men and women and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and be a Christian and be a light and salt and use their strength and their youth to help others and serve others. But you as the parent chooses which way that's going to be. And like I said earlier, we've got children raising children. And these young people are growing up, and yes, they are going out into the streets causing all kinds of mayhem because they didn't have parental guidance. They weren't being raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. And we've got to get God back in our marriage and in our family and in our parenting if it's not there. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. Continuing on, this symbol of an arrow. An arrow is what is shot. An arrow can be shot out, and it can hit a target. And a child can be just like that. It can be shot out, if you will, to do what is good for the Lord. And arrows protect. Arrows can be offensive in war. They can be defensive in war. And we are at war with the devil. And our children can be shot out as an arrow, as it were, and be a force for good. And happy is the man that has his quiver, that object that would be carried maybe on the shoulder or around the back that would hold all of the arrows. Happy is the man who has a lot of children. They shall not be put to shame when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Verse 5, happy is the man. I hear today, well, I don't want to get married. That's the old ball and chain. Marriage is terrible. Having children is terrible. And I'm not going to be a part of any of that. Happy is the man. In the wisdom literature, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, there's several places where we have this word happy. We're in a sick and sad and sorry and sinful society. There's a lot of depression and anxiety. People are downtrodden mentally. Happy is the man. I need to be happy that I'm married. I need to be happy that I have children. And when God is in our marriage and in our parenting and in our family, it is a happy relationship. There are going to be things that come up from time to time that we have to deal with. There's going to be some rough waters here and there. But we're happy. And we work through those things with biblical principles, and we get back onto that happy track. There's so many people that are messed up because God is not in their life, and there's just all kinds of turmoil and problems. You may have heard of J.D. Vance, who has been chosen to be the next vice president for the Republican Party. You may have heard of his story. Raised, born in Eastern Kentucky, raised across the Ohio River in Ohio, but surrounded by profuse profanity and drugs and parental abuse and bad friends on drugs. There are so many homes today like that in Clarksville and in many other cities. It's very sad. But it's because people do not have God in their lives. And verse 5 says that we can be happy, but God has to be in our life. And when our children speak, they will not be put to shame. In the gate, in Bible times, especially the Old Testament, the gate was where business was transacted, where leaders met. And when our young people meet and they speak with their enemies, even those who don't like them, they will not be put to shame because they're living by godly principles. Let's look at Psalm 128. So we've seen in Psalm 127 that it's vanity, it's empty if God is not in our home. It's just empty, and it's going to cause problems. Let's look at the second thing that the psalmist mentions here. And by the way, Psalm 127 is attributed to Solomon, which is interesting. He had a number of children. He had a number of wives. and he had a number of children. And at least early in his life, he knew the importance of having God in his life. Unfortunately, at the end of his life, 1 Kings 11, 1 and following, he let those many wives take his heart away from the Lord. I would suspect that Psalm 127 was written closer to the beginning of his life when the Lord was in his life. But he understood that full well. But in Psalm 128, blessed is the one that fears Jehovah, that walks in his ways. Now we're going to be able to see how this actually carries itself out in our life. We have to fear God, respect and reverence him, and walk in his ways. That means we're going to have to read his word that's in the Bible. And his ways are there, and we're going to have to walk in those ways. We're going to have to read what those ways are and trust those ways and walk in them, apply them in our lives. That's how we get God in our life. Not just some mental, hey, I got to get God in my life. But reading my Bible and following that word, reverencing and respecting that word. And then the psalmist here in Psalm 128 is going to mention five things. You mark down these five things that will happen when a person fears God and walks in his word. What's going to happen? Number one, your employment is going to be blessed. Remember the very first verse, blessed is everyone. Blessed. This is a blessed life. The last psalm ended with happy is the man. This psalm begins with blessed is everyone. Not some folks, but everyone. Everyone can be blessed. And that's what we want. We want to get away from this home life that is terrible and disgusting and problematic and get to the blessed life. Number one, our employment will be blessed. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Your employment is going to be blessed because you're walking by biblical principles. Working hard, saving, staying out of debt, working in order to share with others, being responsible, being on time, having a good character, talking properly with the boss and co-workers. There's a number of biblical principles that we could talk about today that are all carried out during the day at work. Happy shalt thou be. Are you happy at work? Are you happy with your work? Are you happy with the work that you've done? So many people aren't. I find it interesting in both of these psalms, this idea of happy shows up, and that's contrary to what we see in so many lives today without God. So number one, our labor is going to be blessed. Our employment is going to be blessed. Number two, our marriage will be blessed. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of thy house. The marriage is going to be blessed, and she will have children. If we live by biblical principles, where the Ephesians 5, the husband loves the wife and sacrifices for her, and the wife respects her husband and is a help meet to him, Genesis 2. And there are other passages, 1 Peter 3, dwelling with your wife according to understanding or knowledge, praying together, 1 Peter 3, 7, respecting your husband. Those kinds of things are brought out in 1 Peter 3. Our marriage will be blessed. No divorce, no spousal abuse, and that kind of thing. Number three, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. We're raising our children properly when we use biblical principles, and they will grow up to be Christians and be good leaders and use their minds and bodies for good, not just for God ultimately, but for the good of their fellow man around them in school and when they get a job and then when they get out and start their own family. And then our religion is blessed. Number four, behold, thus shall be the man blessed that fears Jehovah. Jehovah bless thee out of Zion, and see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Zion and Jerusalem at this time is where the temple is, and this is the seat of God's authorized religion for his people, and so it becomes symbolic of one's religion. And you can go there and be blessed. Today, it's not found in all the modern-day denominations, but in the New Testament church. The New Testament church literally got started in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And we need to be blessed in our religion, not a man-made religion, not a world religion, not something started by man, but what Jesus said he would build, Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. And it began in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. And we can read the book of Acts, for example, and see what we need to be a part of that New Testament church. And the plan of salvation is to hear the gospel, believe it, repent of our sins, being willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, and be baptized for the remission of our sins, and be raised to walk in newness of life and live a faithful Christian life. Our religion will be blessed. And then last of all, our life on this earth will be blessed. We will have a length of days where we can see our children's children. Yea, number five, see thy children's children, peace be upon Israel. We're often blessed when we live by godly principles to be able to see our grandchildren. Our children have been raised right in the Lord, and now they're raising their children properly. Sherry and I have two beautiful grandsons, and they are being raised to sing about God and pray to God and read about God in the Bible and go to worship God, and we get to see that in their lives, and what a beautiful thing that is. So these five blessings, employment, marriage, parenting with children, religion, and a good long life. Friends, let's have God in our home and family. We don't want this other that we see so much around us, even in our own town and in our own county, our own state, our own country, and throughout the world. Except Jehovah build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Let's have God in our home and family. And if I can help you to do that, I've witnessed it in my life. I was so thankful to have it in my life growing up. I've tried to do it with my children. And you can have the same, and you can have that same happiness, you can have that same blessedness if we will fear the Lord and walk in His ways. Let me help you to do that. Please contact us on the Let the Bible Speak program. Thank you for being with us, and have a good day.